Welcome everyone to a new episode of The Tap. I'm your host, author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. What do we got on tap for today, Andrew?
Oh man, what don't we have on tap today? I mean,
yeah,
we got a lot going on today.
Yeah.
We had one heck of a ride when it comes to Dark Side of the Ring, which we're going to cover as the first topic today. We had NXT 2.0, their big debut of NXT 2.0. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. And then, I think we're mentioning something about AEW Dynamite, and someone that we know was there.
Yeah. I wish I was that guy.
That would be great. So we're going to be covering over AEW Dynamite and Justin's take on being there live in Newark, New Jersey.
It was fantastic, let me tell you. But we'll get on to that in just a minute.
We're going to save that for last because we're going to just let Justin kind of stew in and revel in the moments that he got to go and be at before getting into that, because obviously we're going to save the best for last. Yeah. So we'll go with the worst in wrestling culture right now by talking about Dark Side of the Ring. And this was a really, when they say Dark Side of the Ring, they really went dark on this one, man. I know you didn't really get a chance to watch it yet. I kind of gave you a brief summation
rundown, I've heard of it. I've heard of the plane ride from hell.
Oh my God. Plane ride from hell, man. That's an understatement for what these flight attendants had to go through, man. And I mean, right now the wrestling world and, you know, all the fans and everything are really just rocked by how in-depth this story went. I mean, they did wind up covering and getting some wrestlers' perspectives of people who were there. One of them being Tommy Dreamer. And now, because of Tommy Dreamer's comments throughout the show, he's been suspended indefinitely from Impact Wrestling. Which it sucks for him, but I mean, he made his choice in the comments that he made. And it is what it is. But for the most part, we heard firsthand tales from the flight attendant herself, who had been there for the entire trip and also had been accosted multiple times, sexual advances and sexual assault from some of the wrestlers that were on this plane. Now, for those who have not watched Dark Side of the Ring yet, or not really familiar with the Plane Ride from Hell story, I'll cut right into it and kind of give you a brief summation. So back in 2000, I think it was 2002, WWE had been overseas on a UK tour. They chartered a private jet to take them back to the United States. The plane was delayed for 7 hours with an open bar. So obviously, you have a plane full of wrestlers
with some of the biggest drinkers known to wrestling kind on,
including
it.
Scott Hall,
and Ric Flair,
and Ric Flair, and you have X-Pac. You got some big assholes on there like freaking Brock Lesnar,
meaty steroid guys,
So, I mean, kind of quick rundown of horrible things that ended up happening on this. X-Pac had gotten wasted off of stuff, and Doc Hendricks, or Michael P.S. Hayes, whatever you want to call him, had this like long ponytail, and for whatever reason X-Pac decided to cut the ponytail while Michael P.S. Hayes was sleeping.
I think that was the most wholesome part of what you told
that,
me about.
That was probably like
that was like good natured,
the most
fun.
Innocent. Yeah. You had Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, had put shaving cream on Brock Lesnar's head and as a prank, and Lesnar got up, chased Kurt Hennig through the plane, literally picked him up, and they started wrestling. He slammed Mr. Perfect against like the walls of the plane while they're flying, and almost almost broke the emergency exit door. They almost hit the fuselage area, which would have depressurized the plane. They broke chairs. That was insane enough as is. You had Dustin Rhodes actually sitting there and singing like to his ex Terry on the plane, on the PA, like the microphone PA.
Mm-hmm.
You had Scott Hall, who they said he claimed to be like roofied or H-bombed, as he called it, or something. He said that he was drugged because he was so out of it. But he had grabbed one of the flight attendants, pulled her to himself, licked her face, and then said he was going to lick her. You know what? I'm going to keep it clean for people.
Yeah.
but, you know, down there on her. And then Ric Flair, being the man that he was, he always apparently used to walk around, prance around in just his robe with nothing else on underneath the robe. And he would expose himself to everyone and then basically twirl his junk around. Well, he was doing this on the plane and all the guys were getting, you know, a good laugh out of it. He basically cornered one of the flight attendants, the one that was on the show, cornered her in the galley of the plane, refused to let her go, and basically kept on twirling it in front of her and taking her hand and putting it on himself, on his junk, forcing her to touch him. He did that apparently with the other flight attendant as well. Plus, they were passing out syringes and getting like high off of things, leaving a whole ton of syringes all over the place on the plane when they got back to the United States. It was a huge mess. And that's the PG summary of what I watched last night on Dark Side of the Ring.
Yep.
So now the whole wrestling world is completely rocked. And I mean, it's one of those things where we knew a lot about all this stuff previously. I mean, I was in my 20s during this time and I heard about it online, but I didn't really know in depth how much. And I didn't know that people had gotten fired over it. I know that Scott Hall, Mr. Perfect, and X-Pac had all been fired over all this stuff.
Yeah. Which is funny because, maybe not Scott Hall, but yeah, once again, Kurt Hennig and X-Pac, probably, you know, out of all the things that were done on that plane were probably more good natured pranks, even though we don't know the full extent, nor did they have time to show it on how long is the Dark Side of the Ring? Like an hour and a half or something?
No, it was an hour.
Oh, an hour. Yeah. So they don't have the time. They're summarizing it the best they can. Not to even say that like I'm not going to discount, you know, the flight attendant or any of the wrestlers or anything like that, but it is their recollection and sort of opinion of the time, necessarily not necessarily 100% facts, but it's proven with enough witnesses that most of what was said had actually happened.
Right.
So, I mean, certain things may have happened certain different ways. We can't know for sure. We weren't there, but you know, that's all I can really say on it. Well, but I knew that Ric Flair and people like X-Pac and Scott Hall, even prior to X-Pac and Scott Hall even being wrestlers, that people back in the 80s, there's stories of, you know, guys, you know, taking women up to their room, you know, forcibly up to their room, and like guys with wives, you know, sleeping with four women and doing cocaine and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. You know,
well, I mean, and that was another thing of it was another story from it was at one point before they had even gotten on the plane, I think it was. They were in like the arena, the last arena or something, and Brock Lesnar had heard like Terry Runnels was coming by, and he called out her name, had her come into the locker room where Brock Lesnar was there with Dustin, her ex, and Brock Lesnar completely just like exposed himself purposely to Terry, and you know, just to kind of get arise out of her type of thing. And I mean, this is the stuff that was going on back then. And I guess now even more so with the whole Me Too movements and everything that's going on, it's being brought back to light. And now, you know, obviously it shines a very inappropriate and horrible light on the wrestling industry and on these wrestlers. And now everyone's going to be facing the backlash.
I finally understand what Undertaker was talking about on what? Joe Rogan's podcast. Undertaker says there's a when he first retired for the 18th time, like earlier this year, or whatever, if it was late last year, I don't know, the years kind of go together now. But anyway, he says on Joe Rogan's podcast that he's like, yeah, back in the day when the guys in the locker room were men. And, you know, they carried guns and knives around and, you know, everyone was doing drugs. And he's like, nowadays you go backstage and all playing video games and high fiving. What terrible people. Like, he was basically insulting the fact that basically the guys backstage are like wholesome, normal people now, instead of like drug gun running, like, you know, guys sleeping with multiple women a night and stuff, you know.
Well, I don't think necessarily he was meaning just for that specifically.
No, well, he was trying to talk about men like that back when boys were men and stuff like that, but yeah. Like he was trying to go on about that, but it was a thing for like the next like month after the podcast, where he was getting ripped on for you know, saying basically that the guys today aren't tough and stuff just because they don't carry around weapons and do drugs, you know?
Yeah, so I don't know,
but yeah, I'm just saying now I get what he's saying. He really meant that that this stuff happened every day.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a much
different much darker. Time.
Yeah, it was definitely a different time. I mean, back, we all know that the 80s and the 90s and even the early 2000s, it was definitely a completely different time. Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad I can honestly say I was never one of those types of guys.
Yeah.
That, you know, that kind of fell into that whole, you know, being a jerk and being an asshole and,
yeah,
you know, doing stupid stuff like that. I'm glad I can honestly say I was never one of those people. Thank God for that. Yeah.
And I grew up around nice, wholesome people like Andrew. So I didn't do that either. So,
yeah, I mean, objectifying women in general, it's really stupid. The way guys are, even like, honestly, when we're all teenagers, yeah, it's a different, it becomes kind of like a different thing. It's kind of like the juvenile fraternity, essentially.
Yeah, it's like proving you're a man and
stuff, you know,
like that. And it's all dumb stuff to make yourself cool in front of your friends or
right.
whoever
and
else.
And it's more of like, oh man, you know, look at her, she's hot. Like, I would go ahead and, you know, and do this, and I would do. And it's like, it's guy talk when it came to that, when you're in high school. But at a certain point, you need to grow up. And these guys didn't grow up, and they looked at it as they're big shots in the professional wrestling world, and they can do whatever they want to whoever they want and get away with it. And that's not okay. And that's what a lot of people, other celebrities and politicians and all this other stuff that you see on TV that's been going on, they all thought the same thing. They're big shots. They can do whatever they want. And that's not the way it is. Period.
Exactly.
And on that note, I'm going to get off my soapbox with this, because I'm going to, I'll end up taking up this entire time going on and ranting about this. And I don't want to do that. I want to get back into the actual wrestling of what we're here for.
Exactly.
So with that note, we're going to go to, unfortunately, NXT 2.0. What the heck?
Okay. There were a lot of problems with this aesthetically. Okay. Before you go into whatever you want to talk about, let me say, you said that it was horrible. To be fair, a good 80% of it was horrible. I think like the last match... I think the last match and then the wedding ceremony was actually really good.
All right. First off,
everything else was terrible, especially Braun Breaker with 2 Ks.
Well, first off, their whole opening was just ridiculous. the whole opening video and everything, like the
it was like I was watching an opening of SmackDown or Raw.
No, it was worse.
But worse, it yes, but lower budget and worse. Yes, exactly.
It literally looked like they were a lower budgeted version, lower budgeted 80s version of what a Raw and SmackDown opening would be like.
It's like the sirens out on that like first Monday Night Raw.
Raw's war. Yeah, Raw's war.
Yeah.
And then like, I'm sorry, but like the logo is horrible as is to begin with. And they like have that all over the arena. And it literally looks like a 5-year-old tried to paint. Yeah. That's what it looks like. That they took like a 5-year-old's painting and they went, here, this is a great logo. Yeah. Let's just stick the NXT, you know. Yeah,
it's like they were going for the opening. They were going for the opening of Saved by the Bell, I think. You know, like something like that, where it's a bunch of like floating colors going past you. But like, yeah, it's not 1982 anymore, guys. Come on.
And then, okay, so then we get into they're all talking, you know, like they're all talking about like for the main event match about, you know, going to be the new NXT champion, all this kind of stuff. And somehow we get to LA Knight and Bron Breakker.
Oh my God.
And
what a name.
This ends up getting into, now LA Knight's supposed to be competing for the NXT title in a fatal four-way match, but then decides he's going to wrestle Bron Breakker
out of nowhere and just says that, Like, first of all, actually, Bron Breakker doesn't even officially like challenge him to a match or anything.
No,
he just like gets in front of him and introduces himself to him, and then and then LA Knight just goes, "Oh yeah, you want to get in the ring with LA Knight?" And he's like, "All right, fine." And he's just like, "Yeah," he makes the match himself. Like, it's ridiculous.
And I'm just like, dude, I'm like, why? And then Bron Breakker ends up beating LA Knight. He beats him. It was like, what was it? It wasn't that long. It was less than four minutes.
Yeah, it was just under three minutes. I was going to say like three and a half minutes.
No, it was just under 4 minutes. From the time that the bell rang until the pin and the bell rang again for the conclusion of the match, it was like 3 minutes and like 56 seconds.
Jeez.
It was literally just under 4 minutes.
Fun fact, Bron Breakker is actually Rick Steiner's son.
Ah, you took what I was going to say next.
I'm sorry, because I texted you that before. I don't know if you got it, but I texted you that before. Yeah, I had just found out about it. And did you know this? I'll let you say the other part if you know it. If you don't know it, it's fine. It's about the commentary.
Oh, that they were not allowed to go ahead and say Rick Steiner's name?
They were told specifically that they cannot say his name, but Vic Joseph, the head commentator,
mentioned about the dog face.
Yeah. He still tried to get in a cheeky line anyway. So, but yeah, well, and also the other guy that was in the main event too was somebody's son, but I didn't recognize the name.
Yeah, Von Wagner. I don't remember who he is. And we'll get to that part in a minute.
Yeah, later.
But it was actually kind of funny because I was watching the match, and I knew that Rick Steiner's son was supposed to be with the company. I knew he was in like the developmental section of it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that they were putting him on TV right away. And I'm looking at his outfit and I'm looking at his build and the way he hit that belly to belly suplex. And I'm sitting there looking at him and I'm going, he kind of looks like a Steiner.
Yeah. Put the wrestling, the actual like amateur wrestling ear plug things on him, the helmet thing that they wear. And he would look just like Rick Steiner.
Yeah. And I was just like, huh. So, okay. So then.
So he beats him in less than 4 minutes.
Yeah, he beats him in less than 4 minutes. And LA Knight is now still supposed to be wrestling in the main event match.
Yep.
And then literally later on in the show, I want to say it's like a couple segments before the actual title match, you have Kyle O'Reilly getting beat up backstage.
Thank
by
God.
Ridge Holland and Pete Dunne.
Couldn't be more happy about this.
And Von Wagner comes in making the save, essentially. He doesn't even attack them. He just barges into the room and they run off.
I feel like he's going to be a heel anyway. I feel like he looks naturally like a heel.
Von Wagner? Yeah.
Yeah.
His name even kind of like sounds
Yeah.
like. But then, so he ends up running him off. Kyle O'Reilly's now out of the main event match. And Von Wagner, because he happened to be there to run off Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland, is now magically just put in there. He hasn't even wrestled a match.
Yeah,
his first match is being put into the main event title match.
Well, did you notice almost every match on the show consisted of
somebody who's
never been on NXT before? They're all the Performance Center guys that Vince and Bruce Prichard didn't fire because they were actually big and strong enough for them and young enough.
Yep. So now our NXT title match is set, and we'll get into that part in just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We had B-Fab making her NXT debut in ring in a very horrible match.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, they had a match, the bell rang and then it rang again.
Yeah. And the thing that made it even worse was you had some annoying fan in there, like yelling at the top of his lungs throughout the entire thing. Hit row entire match. He just kept saying that over and over and over again. I literally wanted to go through my TV, find this guy, and slap him across the face because he was pissing me off that much.
I wonder if it's Fat Glasses NXT guy that sits in the front row at every show. No, you'll notice him. You'll notice him. He goes to AEW and sits in the front row at every show too.
No, I have no idea who it was because they didn't show who it was that was saying it. You just kept hearing it.
Yeah.
One thing that was kind of okay-ish was Carmelo Hayes.
No. Okay, this was my least favorite part of the entire night.
I said it was kind of okay-ish. I didn't say it was good.
The guy that came out with him. The guy that came out with him made absolutely no sense. I thought he was having a seizure. Okay. No,
he didn't make any sense at all. But there's a thing I like and the thing I don't like.
I liked Carmelo Hayes' promo before the guy came out.
Yes.
Before he introduced his friend. Yes, I agree.
That part was good. When his friend came out and Carmelo kind of went into that like heel promo, I wanted to turn off the TV because he's sitting there now calling himself the chosen one. I'm like, dude, seriously? I'm like, get out of here. And then they attack Duke Hudson, which I actually did like that part. Mostly because I don't really care about Duke Hudson. And
like Wade Barrett's like trainee. He's been trained by Wade Barrett, apparently. Yeah.
But I like that they did this heel turn for Carmelo Hayes. I just don't like this whole chosen one gimmick.
I feel like that it was true when he said that this was his friend that he brought up from the streets. I feel like this is like a true fact. This guy has no talent whatsoever. And like, I feel like he was his friend that he was like, yeah, bro, I could rap so good and make no sense. Like literally he made no sense to the point where he just stopped talking mid-sentence. And you literally see Carmelo Hayes just look at him and like, be like, what? Like, what did you just say? And then he had to like save the promo. He had to try and salvage it from what it was. And then the guy tried to grab the mic again and he talked again, ruined it again. And then at the end, when he was getting out of the ring, he even tried to grab the mic a third time. But the interviewer girl was like, no, you cannot have the mic. Go away. Like it was so bad. This guy, Trick Williams, I believe his name is, but please, I hope you guys all forget that and he goes away because he doesn't deserve for you to know his name. You know, Carmelo, good for you. You're good. You just need to find, this is not the guy for you. This guy will only bring you down, I'm telling you.
I don't know about necessarily it will bring him down. I think he won't come up from it. Well,
he will not be the rising star out of this.
Here's the thing. If they make Trick kind of keep his mouth shut, maybe.
Yeah, but then what does he do? Because he can't really wrestle either.
Not necessarily wrestle. Bodyguard.
Okay, so you're talking about like an Omos.
Kind of.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. That's fine because he looks physically impressive. But the fact is now that we've heard him talk, you can't unhear that.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Keep his mouth shut. Keep him as a bodyguard.
I agree.
Let him go and train up like to be a better when it comes to like in-ring competitor. Let him train up on mic skills outside of NXT. Let him be the bodyguard so he's on the face. Get some exposure, you know, with the fans and stuff like that. then bring it, like, start bringing him back into it where he, when he actually has good mic skills.
I think he got backstage and they told him, listen, guy, you're fired. Get the hell out of here. We're never giving you a live mic again.
I
wouldn't be surprised if he's not there next week. Or
he will.
Well, if so, I believe, please don't ever hand that guy a live mic again. He has go away heat with me already, and I only watched him for 5 minutes. I will not watch NXT. I promise you.
I'm actually surprised they did as good as they did in the ratings this week.
I think it's just because people, it's something new. It's like a shiny new toy. People just wanted to see what it was
about.
Exactly.
It wasn't about a shiny new toy. It was just that, hey, let's just see how bad this is going to really be.
Yeah. I think they really got some, I mean, to be fair, like, I feel like, you know, Braun Breaker and what's his name? Von
Wagner.
Yeah. Von Wagner. I think that they have potential, both of those guys. I think that they could go somewhere. But I don't know, for you to have a totally new NXT and put on claim that it's going to be a great, better show than it previously was. And then to come out with a bunch of performance center guys like that, like, to be fair, like, they weren't bad or anything, but like, nobody knows who they are. And you're trying to bring, like, if you're trying to bring any kind of viewership to your place with this new tagline of NXT 2.0 and stuff like that, you know, you're missing your opportunity by not putting your biggest stars that you have on it.
Yeah.
And I feel like Samoa Joe's also not injured, because I feel like they would have done it on NXT. They made him quietly give up the championship.
Well, so here's the thing. So apparently he is injured, but he's not injured. So apparently their medical personnel did deem him unfit to be in the ring, but it's not an actual injury. I don't understand what exactly happened, but basically their plan in general for Samoa Joe was to be more of an administrative role throughout this whole thing. It wasn't for him to stay on as an active wrestler.
You mean that wasn't Vince's plan? Because that's why he fired him in the first place. It was Triple H's plan, because that's what happened. That's why Triple H re-signed him. I'm telling you, that was the plan. It's now Vince and Pritchard's NXT, and Vince fired him for a reason. He doesn't want him to wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, because I wish that Triple H wouldn't have talked him back into re-signing with NXT, because then we could be enjoying him on Impact right now, or AEW, or New Japan. Like, I would love to see him anywhere but where he is right now, because I feel like, to be honest, WWE is really a sinking ship right now. I mean, financially, they're still golden, but I mean...
Yeah, they're golden because they wound up getting rid of a whole ton of people.
Yeah, and because they have that sweet Saudi money of millions and millions of dollars. But other than that, you know, their television product, they don't care about it anymore, because it's like they don't need it. Like, it's almost become secondary to the company at this point. Like, they don't even care about what their main source of revenue used to be. They don't care about it anymore.
No, they don't. Well, in general, they don't care.
Yeah, that's
true. So, speaking of things that are and kind of, I actually found out that Vince McMahon had actually, he wasn't at NXT, but he had been all over the scripts. Like, he read, reviewed, and like made like changes to the script and everything like that prior to NXT. So yeah, this was definitely Vince McMahon, like, all over it, including how we had JC Jane and Gigi Dolan taking on Casey and Caden, and ends with a DQ finish because Mandy Rose comes out and attacks them.
Yeah.
Saray comes out to kind of run everybody off. And right after we have a DQ, we now have a six-woman tag.
This was so Monday Night Raw.
Oh,
like,
my God.
This is out of the Vince McMahon playbook, if I've ever seen it. Straight up, how many times have you seen Raw start off with, like, a one-on-one match that turns into a six-man tag or an eight-man tag or something like that? Like, literally almost every week. It's, like, ridiculous.
it was bad.
It felt like a main roster show.
But I was happy that Mandy Rose, JC Jane, and Gigi Dolan got the win.
She looked good. I like her with the dark hair.
I will say the new look was impressive.
Yeah.
And they did after, like, I guess, like, online type of interview, We found out that the name of the faction will be called Toxic Attraction.
It kind of makes sense that they're all kind of gothy gimmick, which is why I get that she like also dyed her hair darker so that she fits in more with this gothy gimmick that the other two have. So I like that, actually, because I really thought they were going to give her the whole face mask thing. And I was like, dude, that never works. Stop giving people the face mask. Like Sheamus looks like the Green Hornet right now. Like, please stop.
Oh God. All right. So let's get into the one thing that was actually good about the show. And then the one thing that was good-ish about the show.
Yeah.
The actual good part of the show was the NXT title match, which was a really good match. It was Tommaso Ciampa getting the win, becoming a new NXT champion.
Let me tell
gets
you.
Gets the win over Von Wagner, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight.
Besides Pete Dunne, Ciampa was the last pick I had for this. Like Ciampa, I thought that they had forgotten that, like, how over he was as NXT champion. I mean, he went out as a heel, but he became an instant babyface when he got injured. I just thought they totally forgot about him. I feel like that he only actually even got this title right now because of, you know, I mean, not lucky for Timothy Thatcher, but because Timothy Thatcher is injured. So I feel like that's the only reason that he got it. Otherwise, they would have kept him in his little tag team storyline. He would have feuded with Timothy Thatcher once they eventually broke up, like 3 to 5 months down the line. And he wouldn't have even been in this match. I feel like Johnny Gargano should have been in this match. But I understand. But they really didn't have to have this on the same night as the wedding. And he still could have wrestled. They could have had, like, he still could have wrestled. He could have won and then brought the championship to it. I did like the match. I enjoyed it. I'm happy Ciampa won. I thought I had my money on LA Knight. And then once they, because he's the most WWE guy in that match, like his style wise and his promos and everything like that. He's got the look that they want. He's big enough, you know. So I thought he was going to win for sure. But then when they put in Von Wagner, the new guy out of nowhere, I thought, oh God, they're going to rocket him straight to the top. I thought he was going to play off like he's the baby face guy like they've done before. I forget who did it really well before where they played him off as like a baby face, but he was obviously a heel. Or maybe I'm just thinking of Roman Reigns most of his career, but I might just be thinking of that. But, you know, where he's like a baby face, but like everybody boos him as a heel. But I thought that that's what they were going for. I thought like that was the point that like he thought he was a baby face. And then it turns out he realizes during the match that he's actually a dick and then starts beating up everybody. You know, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Honestly, because of the way that everything's set up earlier in the night with Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland, first off, that they had gotten rid of Oney Larkin and Danny Burch, what was it, like a week or 2 weeks ago?
It was literally last week, yeah.
It was last week. Yep. So they got rid of them, and now they're beating up on Kyle O'Reilly in the back. Here comes Von Wagner. He doesn't even touch them, and they, like, run away from him because he grabbed, like, a regular chair. And I kind of figured with him being added to the match, I was thinking that he was going to end up joining with Pete Dunne and helping Pete Dunne win the title.
Yeah, that was definitely another possibility. Just because of the way that they've been sort of keeping Pete Dunne sort of credible, I thought that he would have been a good option for them. I did not think Ciampa. I mean, I didn't think Cool Kyle either. I'm so glad they took him out of the match. Because I really hate him. He has go away heat with me now. Like, I do not like him as a baby face. Get him away. Put him back in a tag team with Bobby Fish, please, for the love of God. They're made for the tag team.
Fish is gone, remember?
Oh, yeah, man. I forgot. He's too old, they say.
Yep.
He's too old, they say, even though the medium age of the main roster is like 41 years old. But that's
right. I'm telling you right now, I would love it if Bobby Fish ends up going to Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
And you have Fish and Eddie Edwards connect. Either feud or connect, cool, man. Because honestly, the two are, they had an epic feud when it came to ROH. When it was Eddie Edwards and
it was
Rhea Dragons versus American Wolves.
Yeah, American Wolves. Yeah. It would be great. Richards and Eddie Edwards and yeah, and then Kyle and Bobby Fish. Yes, it would be great. I totally agree on that. I'm happy Ciampa won. And I even like the subtlety at the end of the closing segment of the night, which we're about to talk about.
Yes.
Where he's looks like, cause the whole time I'm like, well, him and Johnny sort of made up sort of, I mean, they it's not like they speak to each other, but they like had like a tag team moment in a match before, obviously on the main roster. It's like they were never fighting at all, but I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. They made up on NXT somewhat, like they're not friends, but like they're amicable. So I thought that he might be at the wedding or like show up at the end. But I did like that at least that it showed that he watched like it because, it, you know, Johnny Gargano was a part of it, you know, like, so I like that attention to detail that they at least, you know, didn't just make it like, you know, oh, why like Ciampa left, like he's not going to watch what Johnny Gargano does or be at like the guy, you know, he's not going to be there for the guy that's like having the girl he's calling his daughter get married. You know what I mean? So. Like it was just cool to kind of see that. And, you know, obviously he had his own, he got remarried tonight to Goldie. So yep. That's good.
It was
but
a double wedding.
Yeah, it was a double wedding. Exactly. Reunited.
It was one of those things when it came to the wedding for Index, in my opinion, it was good, but it wasn't good. Like it was, I don't know. We both agreed that we were kind of okay with it being a little stupid funny.
Yeah.
With things.
Some of it was
instead of it being tragic, you know.
Some
like
of it was bad, but some of it was funny.
Yeah. I mean, well, that was the thing was like I was just kind of like, I don't know. I was happy for the happy ending and even the fact that we got to hear Loomis speak. For the first time,
I don't think he should have spoke. I think as soon as he spoke, his whole mystique broke.
He talks
like some guy that says "Welcome to Walmart," and you think he's supposed to have like some like deep voice like this, and it's like I knew that that's what his voice was going to be, which is why they never let him talk in the first place.
Yeah,
like I knew that. Like that's what killed me. Even though, like, I thought it would have been way funnier. If instead of saying I do, if he just shook his head, yes.
Well,
I thought that would have been better.
That's why at one point they did, like, he had done the thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah. And also at the end when Beth Phoenix is in there, before he stops her and says I do, she goes, I'll take that as a yes, because he just stares.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to call it off. That's what I thought it was going to be. I thought he was going to say that he wasn't ready to get married, actually. I thought that was going to be like the whole thing, like that he actually was like trying to murder her the whole time and he really didn't even like her. I thought it was funny. I love that they brought back Austin Theory for this. I thought he was going to turn too.
I was waiting for something like that.
But apparently
happen,
he's man. Going to the main roster or something.
Yeah, he's been having dark matches.
Yeah, which is why he's been gone. But I'm glad that they like talked. They talked him into letting him come back for this because it was great. I love that all like the groomsmen all wore like black leather gloves, like they were all murderers. And then at one point, Odyssey Jones even puts Andre Chase to sleep. You know, like Dexter Loomis does with like a nerve pinch, which and everybody chants Odyssey Jones. It's great. Also, what was the other thing? The Loomis with the axe, everybody objects.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite parts. Everybody in the entire, like, that they had in the seating in the ring, every single person except for Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae raised their hands. And then Dexter opens his jacket to reveal that there's an axe there and he shows it to everybody, including the crowd, like everybody better put their hand down. that was good. I thought that was funny. But yeah, some of it was complete nonsense, but what wedding isn't? I do like that they tease that every other wedding always ends in some kind of, you know, like where it never even happens, you know, because Johnny teases that multiple times. He's like, you thought it wasn't going to happen, but it's happening.
Yep. All right, enough with NXT 2.0.
Yeah, it wasn't.
That's the other thing that annoyed me. is every single time they wind up saying anything about NXT, they had to keep saying it as NXT 2.0. I'm like, dude, just shut up. Like, enough with it.
Like, why can't you just say it's a new NXT, it's a new era? Like, how many times they said that on Raw?
Yeah.
And there's no Raw 2.0, even though there definitely should be. And I don't mean the name. I just mean they just need to completely recycle it, throw it in the trash, and then build and start from scratch again. But, yeah. I'm done with NXT right now. I will be hopeful that they hear some of this criticism because we're not the only ones saying it. And hopefully that it won't be the worst thing in the world when I see it next week.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to what was that other show? The one that's dominating the ratings and almost beating Monday Night Raw in ratings now.
I want to see the ratings. They got to be close this week.
It was 1.3, I think, for AEW Dynamite, and I think for Raw it was 1.6.
They're getting there. That's not a lot in the grand scheme of things.
Dynamite was actually down compared to last week, but Raw keeps dropping down too. So
yeah, and to be fair, like last week was the Dynamite after the pay per view.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into it. Obviously, we've already made the comments that Justin was there.
And
he was ecstatic to be there.
Oh, I almost lost my voice there. My girlfriend looked at me so weird. Like, she's like, I've never seen you scream like that before. It was fun. It was interesting. I met some really cool people, a lot of which were going to the New York show. It was really cool. I even got to see Rampage. I won't give you the spoilers. We'll wait for the next show on that one. But you might not see me in the crowd because I happen to be right next to where the camera pivots. So I might just be cut off by the camera, which I'm mad because I had really good seats. I was close enough to get hit with John Moxley's water bottle. The girl on my row did. It was pretty cool. She kept it. She wasn't even mad about it. And he winged it. It was so fast. I thought he threw a softball like into the crowd. Like I was like, whoa. And he twisted it up too. It's like those little kids when they twist the bottle until the top pops off. Like he did one of those too, so that he could really wing it. This girl got hit right in the face. It was crazy. But she was like, John Moxley, I love you. It was great. We got to watch him and Lance Archer fight through the crowd and stuff. It was amazing. And even a return as well of Cody Rhodes, boo. But like, at least it was a return. He came through the crowd as well. Not on my side though, which I was upset about, but whatever. Just wanted to touch somebody, man. Just wanted to be a fan. But it was amazing. The crowd was great there. Justin Roberts was great. We got some Brody chants during the break and stuff. We were really going nuts. It was a good time.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to get into it with the things that I took notes on.
Yeah, and I'll just give my my take on it. I'll let you talk about it. I'll give my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, first off was Adam Cole versus Frankie Kazarian. First off, I mean, Adam Cole, definitely big pop for him on it.
I was part of that pop, baby. this is the funny thing. Everybody wouldn't stop saying it in the hallways everywhere the entire night. Baby. Everyone kept going, Adam Cole. And then the rest of the crowd would go, baby. It was great. This was a great match. I definitely enjoyed it. What did you think of it? I thought Kazarian, it was just a shame because Kazarian's supposed to be the babyface in the match and he had to kind of play heel because Adam Cole is just so over right now that he was getting booed, you know, like Frankie Kazarian, you know. But what did you think of his debut?
I was very impressed with it. Honestly, I probably would put that as the match of the night, really.
Yeah, it was good.
I loved it. It was an incredible match. I thought it was an impressive debut.
He had a good promo after.
Adam Cole afterwards, the promo, he ends up basically putting for a six-man tag now. It's not for this Rampage, it's next week's Rampage, I believe.
Yeah, yeah,
it's Christian, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus to take on Adam Cole and the Young Bucks.
Yep. That's the following week's Rampage. That's the one that's going along with the New York show next week. See, this is something I would like your take on because I didn't hear it. See, I got to get a nice CM Punk pop on commentary, who came out for commentary, and it was great. We all got to sing Cult of Personality. We all had a great pop. We were chanting CM Punk the entire time he was on commentary. it was great. I thought he was only there for the first match until I saw that he was there for like half the night until he eventually got taken out, which that was literally as far away from me as almost it could possibly be. So I didn't even see it. I just saw a bunch of security over there after he was already taken out. Also, they kept panning to them. I was really mad. They kept panning to CM Punk, but like, since we're in the live crowd, we can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah. I mean, Punk was really good on commentary.
I'm sure that's what I had heard. So,
yeah, I mean, he was just like, he gave a good perspective of things. He wasn't like overly.
Did you hear the ice cream bar chant? I don't know if that was during the commercial break. Yeah. Yeah. One of the guys in my section started that like two rows behind me. We want ice cream. I got in on it. Hell yeah, I want ice cream. I was like, yeah, hey, it's going to break his bank account if he buys any more stadiums ice cream. You know, but yeah. It was fun. What do you got next?
Next up, I had the Pillman MJF promos.
This is one of the only things that I really, really wanted to talk about. I hope it came across on TV. You could barely hear MJF speak, right? Like
no, he came through pretty clearly. On TV.
Really? Well, really? Because he like rammed his face almost like into the microphone. It was inaudible. Nobody in the crowd could hear him because we were booing him so hard, so hard. There was not a single person in there not booing. Like even we had some of the security guards booing him. Like that's how much he was getting booed, because when he was saying New Jersey is like a cesspool and it stinks and like all the stuff he was saying, he even sent out a tweet beforehand, which somebody that I was talking to at one of the concession stands was telling me that Baron Corbin actually answered, because he said, I can't believe I have to go to New Jersey, that one of the most terrible places on earth. And Baron Corbin's like, don't let them touch you because you won't be able to wash off the stink. but it was so funny because that's what MJF was saying in the ring. He was talking about how crappy New Jersey is and that it's like the worst place. Newark, New Jersey is the worst place in like all of the United States or whatever. And he got the biggest boo, and we would not stop booing him. He even got the shut the F up chant. We got him going with that for a while. Oh yeah, that was probably bleeped out. That's why they probably cut us off a little bit. Yeah, that's why.
They allow a lot of cursing to get through on TV. Yeah. But yeah, something like that, they don't really.
We had a good minute and a half of shut the F up chants. And I don't mean F. I mean, we said the full word.
Of course. It's filled with New Yorkers and people from Jersey, man.
It was a great promo, though. I loved his promo. I thought it was fantastic. He was really getting heat with the fans. It was fantastic. I even popped some guys next to me because I was like, I've been to Plainview, Long Island. It's not that nice.
A lot of Long Island isn't really that nice.
Yeah, it's nicer than a lot of other places, but it's not the nicest place to live. Definitely not.
I liked the promo overall from MJF. I think he, and I still stand by my word. I mean, he is just incredible. Like, he draws like such incredible heel heat, not go away heat. Like, he actually has like legitimate
real
like,
heel heat.
Yes, and I love it. And I mean, he really like had you guys like, I'm waiting for one day.
He worked me, man. I tell you,
he works everyone really well.
I'm not even from New Jersey, and he had me booing the crap out of him. Like it was.
I was sitting here listening to his comments about like the people from Jersey, and not for nothing, I was laughing because being from New York, I'm like, yeah, Jersey. Yeah, you're an armpit.
I know. What's hilarious. Yeah, what's hilarious is like that's kind of the way that a lot of people from New York or Long Island look at New Jersey is kind of the same way that he does. But what's funny is there were a lot of people from New York there. And then what's funny is some of the guys behind me were from New Jersey, but they were like, yeah, it's kind of true. So yep. I thought that was funny, you know, that they were like they were having fun with it. You know, it was definitely a good time. That promo was definitely, I was screaming louder than any other promo of the night. It was great.
And then Pillman Jr. Well, no, his promo was amp, but the fact that he had his, he came through the crowd and attacked MJF from behind when Wardlow was
He had a good baby face reaction. He got me cheering for him a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like main event worthy, but I mean, it's a decent feud to like coming away after Jericho, because it's like you've been riding high on this Jericho feud for like months upon months, going into like a mid-card feud with Brian Pillman Jr. I mean, yeah, it kind of puts MJF a little bit lower than where he really is.
It's made to raise up Pillman more than exactly. It is to lower him,
and that's the thing that people kind of get like too focused in on, like Punk and Darby Allin going back to like their match and everything. Yeah, Darby winds up losing and people are like, oh, you know, Punk had to go over on Darby, you know it's, you know, he should have put him over and everything. But it's like they're working on doing these things to make sure that these wrestlers, like the younger guys, get the rub and make them bigger stars.
Yeah, here's the thing that I think you were that I'll elaborate on that you were saying is that you don't have to always win the match to get put over, which a lot of fans seem to think that that's the case. You can get set up to look like that you're gaining skill and toughness by losing and then winning your next match. It's not always about the match that you're currently in. It's a way to get you to your main event match down the line sometimes. It's not all about Darby Allin losing to CM Punk. It's about Darby Allin getting elevated by even being in a match with CM Punk so that he can go off and beat somebody else like Chris Jericho a year from now. You know what I mean? So that's what it's all about. And AEW is very good at accomplishing that. So they know what they're doing when it comes to that. Like, they know the best way to get Brian Pillman over as a babyface is to put him in the ring with the most hated heel in the entire company.
Oh yeah, so, absolutely. Definitely.
So they know what they're doing. Yep.
All right, next up we had FTR getting the win over Matt Sydal and Dante Martin.
This was a pretty good match, actually. I forgot about this. This was actually a pretty good match. A lot of high flying spots from Dante Martin again. He did a couple cool tandem moves with Matt Sydal, and I guess Matt Sydal's brother's injured too. I didn't know that.
I didn't know he was injured.
I
think they just wanted to go ahead and put someone who can keep up at the speed of Dante Martin.
I thought that his brother might have also been injured as well, because that's just why they stuck them together, because they're both in brother tag teams. But yeah, no, it could be for what you're saying. I mean, it made sense, yeah, because like you said, the like literally Matt Sydal was Dante Martin back in 2008 working for WWE. Like, he was the baby-faced high-flyer kid that was doing all the moves no one else could do.
Yep.
You know, that's exactly who he was, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. So, putting him with a
veteran in the ring as a tag team partner.
And somebody that knows how he is, because he's almost the same. He's literally almost the same style of wrestler, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Great match, though. I wouldn't say great, oh my God, it's unbelievable.
It was like a great match. It was a good match
compared to NXT. Yeah.
No, it was definitely better than anything WWE put on at all this week. So, which isn't saying a lot, but
yeah, no, I know. Next up was about Malakai Black and Cody Rhodes.
Ooh, I can tell you about his entrance.
go ahead, go into the entrance, because that it looks so creepy and so cool at the same time.
So in when you're in the live crowd, you can see him the whole time. Yeah. Okay. It's not that dark. They shut the lights off, and I don't know they what they do is because the lights are off, you can still see like the ramp and the ring has some like low level lights on it that you can still see. It looks like somebody's car headlights off in the distance or something. But the crowd is completely blacked out. And what they do is they put the camera on part of the crowd, which is why at some point you can see people's flashing lights in the crowd. I watched him walk up to the thing and get on the turnbuckle. And then I watched him hop into the ring and sit down in the position. But it was still cool. I mean, it was still cool to see. It made me interested because I was just interested in how it happened and how they make it look so good on TV. But it did take some of the mystique out of it for me. But this also, AEW standard is decent matches. So, I mean, I guess I can't complain, but this was also a decent match. And I was happy because I wanted to see Dustin Rhodes hit the Canadian Destroyer because I wanted to show my girlfriend because as soon as he came out, she was like, he looks old. And I go, yeah, he does. But I go, unlike most of the other old guys that you will see here today, he can move like most of the guys in their 30s here. You know, like he can still go better than most 30 something year old wrestlers I know, like, and he's 50 something, you know? So like I was like, watch, you're going to see this guy do what's called the Canadian Destroyer. And I say, everyone does that now, but nobody over 50 does it. Mm-hmm. So, and his just looks so devastating. Cause he does it just like a real pile driver. Cause he knows like the mechanics of the moves. He's just not, he tweaked it into his own way. That's why he has to do it out of the corner too. Cause he kind of has to like hop up like onto you. But yeah, so I enjoyed this. This was a good Dustin Rhodes match. I mean, right. It was Dustin Rhodes, right?
No, it wasn't even a match.
Oh, it wasn't a match?
No, it wasn't even a match. So they had that for maybe they had something for you guys, but
Sorry. They had a dark match where he faced QT Marshall for the 18th time. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. The thing with Malachi was he came
in. This was Dustin Rhodes, though. Like, he was involved in the segment, right?
No, Cody.
Oh yeah, this is when Cody came back. I'm sorry. Yeah, guys, I watched hours of wrestling, even though there was only a 2-hour show.
That's why I was like kind of like sitting here like, where is he going with all this, man? So this was Malachi Black came out and he cut a promo and he was directing his attention at Rosario Dawson. Came out of the crowd and
which I have no idea who that is, by the way.
You don't know who Rosario Dawson is?
I like how you say that a second time, like I'm going to magically know who it is. I've never heard the name Rosario in my life, and the only Dawson I know is Dawson's Creek.
Did you ever watch Clerks 2?
Yes.
She was the one who works at movies with them at and Clerks 2.
Oh, okay.
And she's been in so many like movies, dude.
There's a lot of people like that you would know them by face. But the thing is, I couldn't see her face because I was in the crowd.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't see what she looked like. If I saw what she looked like from the front, I only saw the back of her head because she was facing.
Look her up. Online later.
Yeah, I will, because I definitely know who she is, but I don't know the name because there's a lot of actors and actresses that I don't know the name of. But if you show me what they look like, I'll be like, oh, that's the guy that's like he's the guy that's the vendor for 2 seconds in that one movie from 30 years ago. Like, I'll know who it is by seeing them. But also with the camera too, there was a lot of like crowd around since she was like in the corner area, and that was like the corner that was hardest for me to see in person. And then yeah, they didn't get a very good camera shot of her face for us, at least for the live crowd. So
yeah, look her up when later on you'll be like, oh, I know exactly who she is.
Yeah, I'll feel like an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. But any which way, so they so she comes out of the crowd, and of course, you know, Alistair comes like at her, and then this brings Cody out, which I don't understand why Cody had to come through the crowd. That's the thing that I didn't understand.
Because he's Cody Rhodes and he does whatever he feels like. Yeah. He thinks it looks cool with no explanation whatsoever. And then
because it was taking him so long to get through the crowd, Rosario Dawson had to jump on Malakai's back. And then, like, before she could get thrown off, Cody comes in to, like, start attacking. They brawl. I thought it was great. And they fight through the crowd, like, back into the crowd. And yeah, all the way up the stairs.
All the way up. This set, it felt like it went on for a while. I don't know, maybe just because I was there. But it felt longer than it needed to be for a feud that, like, nobody cared about. We all cheered when we saw Cody, and I was talking to a lot of fans there that were like, we only cheered just because it was, like, a random thing that we weren't really sure, like, was going to happen. It's not because it was Cody. Like, we all hate Cody. Like, we cheered because it was just a returning match and something cool and unexpected was happening. But, like, it was just somebody returning. That's why we cheered, not necessarily because it was Cody. And, like, the guys, the fans that cheered around Cody were only cheering because Cody Rhodes was right next to them and they were able to touch him. You know, that's it. You know, it's not because anybody was actually excited about Cody, because I can confirm I talked to a lot of the fans there. Not all of them. So there might be a couple Cody fans in there, but trust me, we were all happy to watch Aleister Black beat him up.
Yeah. I mean, we all want to see Malakai just destroy him. That goes without saying.
Yep.
Next up I had was the Dark Order promo backstage with Anna Jay and Ty Conti. Mm-hmm. This was just kind of weird.
There's an explanation to this, I think, that makes more sense that you guys didn't get to see, because they taped like an hour of Dark Elevation prior to this. And there was a Dark Order versus Dark Order match where it was 5 and 10 versus Colt Cabana and Evil Uno. And Evil Uno sort of, even though he's already been alluding kind of to turning heel, I mean, it's still not a full heel turn yet, but he rips off Five's mask. Which I don't really even know why that matters, because you already wrestled as Allen Angels previously without a mask on, and everyone knows it's Allen Angels. But like, so they treated it like basically like Pentagon Jr. does when he gets his mask ripped, where he was covering his face. And then he still ends up rolling up Uno and wins. And then he puts, you think he's going to throw the Dark Order mask at Uno, and then he puts it back on and goes to give Uno his hand to lift him back up. And the rest of the Dark Order all make up, and then the rest of the Dark Order all, they make up basically, but then Uno rolls out of the ring and he doesn't take the handshake from him.
That's kind of, yeah. I didn't see that, but that might make
a little more sense, because also Anna Jay and Ty Conti kind of like broke them up from like arguing and stuff a little bit too during that as well.
Yeah. But I mean, we'll, obviously, this is continuing to lead into the whole Dark Order breaking up, and even Alex Reynolds came back.
Yep.
During this promo,
he was also there for the Elevation thing as well. Him and John Silver were on the side of 5 and 10.
Johnny Boy.
Yeah, and I think because you thought that it was probably going to be Reynolds and Silver that split from the Dark Order. I disagree. It's looking like it's going to be Uno and Grayson that split from the Dark Order, because they actually don't need the faction. They were a previous well-known tag team before this. But if you saw what I saw, you would know that now they're all cool. Reynolds and Silver are cool with everyone else in the Dark Order except for Uno and Stu Grayson. Uno and Stu Grayson are the odd people out in the scenario.
We'll see what happens with it.
Yep.
Next up, I had the whole Men of the Year Inner Circle promo.
This is funny.
I really can't stand Lambert.
Yeah.
He really just, I want to turn off. Like, I fast forward most of the time because I can't stand him.
I don't know why. I know you don't like him, and I don't know why, but I like him. I like hearing his whiny,
I can't.
Millennials. I love it. I love it. He's
I can't stand millennials. Him. I can't stand his voice. I'm just like, dude, no one cares about you. You're not a wrestler. You don't have any, like, reason to be there in the first
every
place.
Every week he keeps bringing out more American Top Team people.
The only
week.
And the only thing I liked about his part of it was you had Paige VanZant.
Yep.
and was it her boyfriend or husband, whatever he is, they were there, and I was just like, oh cool, I'm like, I know them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I know, but Paige Van Zandt. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like, oh that's cool, I'm like, they're there. And then I'm just like, other than them I really didn't care. And then Jericho came out, I'm like, oh, I'm like, this got good. And I just loved, and it's really getting,
made him finish the song even after it got cut off. We made him finish it because, yep, Jericho even went to start his promo and we made Jericho stop so that we could finish it.
I heard that came through on TV. Yep.
Yeah,
but then loved it. Then Jericho came out with the Lambert song.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it was great, and we all chanted along.
I heard everyone was sitting there going, "Fat face, jackass, yeah, yeah, yeah."
Yeah, it was great.
I was loving it, and it's like an earworm; it's still stuck in my head. Yeah. But I liked it. It was a good segment. I'm looking forward to seeing Men of the Year versus Inner Circle.
We even sang it on the way out too. We even sang Judas again on the way out, like, and then they cut it off midway, and everybody in the crowd goes, "Aw!" It was funny. Yeah.
Next up was CM Punk getting destroyed by Powerhouse Hobbs.
Yep.
I actually
missed this because they didn't like cue up anything like really for us.
No, it was just random.
All of a sudden, yeah, they just, all of a sudden he was just beat up like on the side.
Well, because Taz came out and he starts getting in Punk's face, and he had Hook with him, and CM Punk came at them. And then Powerhouse Hobbs just came out of nowhere and attacks Punk. And then they put him through the announce table.
Yep.
What I actually liked in there was the little insult to injury was Powerhouse Hobbs then sitting, you know, with his legs crossed like CM Punk does.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because it was just like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and like, and take a page out of you, you know? Exactly. So I'm actually looking forward to CM Punk versus Powerhouse Hobbs.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I can't wait to see him versus Starks eventually, because I think they have.
That's what they're going to
be good. Eventually. It's going to be good, I think, because I like Ricky Starks. He's good.
Me too.
He's growing on me. He seems to be really coming into his own now, which is good. I like that.
Next up was the match of Darby Allin versus Sean Spears, but more of what happens afterwards.
Yep.
So Darby and Sean Spears actually had a pretty good match. It was okay. It wasn't like great.
It was all right.
It was kind of like a typical Darby Allin non street fight type of match, I guess you could say. Complete with him getting the win.
Yep.
And then afterwards you had FTR come at Sting and Darby, with Tully getting involved. They do the spike pile driver on Sting. They wipe the face paint off of Sting, just like Sean Spears did to Darby during the match.
Yep.
I like that they're kind of continuing this whole Tully Sting feud without them actually having to wrestle each other.
Yeah. And I do appreciate that finally somebody else in the Pinnacle got involved in somebody else of the Pinnacle's feud, because I'm tired of the fact that they come out with like Pinnacle music and, you know, they show like the whole faction, but like MJF doesn't even mention them, hasn't even said the word Pinnacle since.
He's been with Wardlow doing their own thing.
Yeah, but the Pinnacle still has MJF's face up for the first 30 seconds of the video on the Tron. So I don't know, like, it's just weird. I feel like I get that they can go off and do their own things, but it's like there's not even like single mentions of them. And it's just like, I like that at least, like, they were like, oh yeah, Tully Blanchard also manages FTR. Mm-hmm. Duh. Because it wasn't even really about a Pinnacle thing. It was just that Tully manages both of them. You know, like, that's what's weird, but they still came out like the Pinnacle music, you know. Yep. Like, it's weird. But like, so, FTR definitely came out to the Pinnacle's music before.
Yeah. So the next up is the one item that I think was probably the moment of the night, and that's the Bryan Danielson promo bringing out Kenny Omega and them agreeing to the match. Obviously, it's not going to be a title match.
Yep.
Which means we all know that Bryan's going to get the win.
Exactly, because he can't lose like the debut. Like, no way.
But yeah, I mean, we're gonna be having this as, and it's next week actually. Next week in Dynamite, yep. Right?
Yeah, I'm so mad.
Yep. So
I mean, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah. But I loved the atmosphere. I loved how he just kept on calling, like, you know, calling out Don Callis for basically being the mouthpiece and, you mm-hmm. know, not like needing to be part of the conversation and all this kind of stuff. I was like, thank you. I'm like, get rid of Don Callis. Like, he adds nothing. He has like go away heat with me, especially him in his Pepto-Bismol suit.
Yep. And we had the piece of poop chants going, ringing through the crowd.
I heard that one loud and clear too.
Yep. That one was, we were going full on for that. We had so many chants of him just being a piece of crap. There was like three different chants we had going that all had to do with him just being a shitty person. So.
All right. And then finally, the whole, I'm not even going to talk about the match itself with Moxley Kingston 2.0, but Moxley Kingston Archer Suzuki.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Man. That's going to be so good. And listen, the way that this happened, we saw Moxley coming because obviously I was in the crowd. I was right on the side where Moxley comes out. I was like right where he comes out, like through like underneath the crowd, like, you know, on the floor. I was like 50 feet or less from him. I could see the sweat on his back. Like, that's how close I was. But he winged this girl, water bottle at this girl, man. It was the coolest stuff I ever seen. Like a 90 mile an hour fastball. She was so happy. She could have sued, but she didn't. You know, she could have been a millionaire. She could have, you know, got some of that sweet Renee Paquette money, you know. But no, but it was great though. The them coming through the crowd was just great. Just to get to experience them, Eddie Kingston's crazy self, just giving everyone the crazy eyes. I swear, John Moxley also gave me like a thumbs up on the top rope. But you know, it could have been me. It could have been me and 50 other guys. So it's all right. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was great to see, because the whole point of this was basically to fix what happened last week, where all of like the diehard New Japan fans complained about that they didn't get to finish singing Suzuki's song. So this whole thing, it was to build to their tag team match next week, but a lot of it was, that's why there was a good like 5 minutes of Suzuki entrance, just because so that they could get to sing that little part of the song. And then Lance Archer comes out, we get to see gigantic Lance Archer towering through the crowd. God, what a massive guy in person. It really doesn't, TV does not do people like him justice. Even John Moxley is like three of me and I'm 185 pounds. He looks like he could eat me and still have room for dessert. Like, it's insane. And I'm super psyched for that next week, because Archer's awesome. He hasn't really been doing anything. Suzuki and Moxley didn't get the time it deserved last week. I'll watch anything with Eddie Kingston in it. So, and you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Moxley, but like, still, I know he can go. And I'm interested for that next week. I think it's going to be a great match.
That's all. I'll definitely be checking that out. I actually, sorry, while you were talking, I happened to just go online, and one of the things that they had on there was the future plans for Miro when it comes to the TNT title. So, I mean, obviously I'm not going to go ahead and discuss what happens for Rampage. We both know the spoilers at this point. So I'm not going to go and ruin it for anybody, but things that end up unfolding, apparently the plan is to have Miro take on Sammy.
Yep. Yeah. Sammy Guevara. And I think Sammy's going to win it too.
It's, I think, very Sammy's possible.
Going to take it from Miro, because he's really popping as a baby face right now. All the live crowds seem to love him. His vlog is getting over. It's got more viewers than BTE now.
I mean, it's about time that somebody in the inner circle other than Jericho wins a title.
And this was the point. Jericho said that one of the people that he handpicked for inner circle, like day one, was Sammy Guevara, because he saw him at the The Double or Nothing press conference when he first got signed to AEW, and he was like, I like this kid. I think I can do something with him. I think he's going to be really big.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I actually, he's grown on me. I hated Sammy when he first came out in that stupid panda hat and stuff. But like now he's coming into his own. He's really becoming a natural babyface, and he's really leaning into it. Fuego definitely helped as well, just with like his whole storyline of getting signed and everything like that. So that also helped him get over. And yeah, as soon as I saw, you know, that's where they're looking to go. It definitely, made me think, oh my God, this is who's actually finally going to take the title from Miro. Because nobody else has seemed credible enough. No. Like Eddie Kingston
was credible. The only one.
Yeah, but like even still, like I think they're gonna have their second match first, and then they're gonna do the Sammy Guevara. But actually, now that I just thought about it, they might take the title off of him just because they don't really need the title for the feud.
No, they don't. I don't think that they need the title for the feud.
Yeah. So, and to be fair, Miro's had a great run though. But yeah, if somebody
You never know. It could honestly end up being where Eddie Kingston gets involved in the match, causing Miro to lose the title, and then that's how they can continue things as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Or even, you know, somebody like Jake Hager, you know, helping Sammy or something like that. But yeah, for it to look like babyface, I think a third party has to come in, like Eddie Kingston. You're right. Yeah. So I agree with that. I think that's probably where they'll go with that, because I don't think they're gonna beat Miro clean. No way.
No, and it would make sense to then continue the feud that way.
Yeah, and they're gonna go with Guevara's babyface, so yeah, obviously it's got to be like something that's out of his control that causes him to win.
Yep. All right, that is it. We are finally done. This was a bit of a long episode.
Yeah, sorry about that. No worries.
Hey, it's understandable. All right, so that ends the show for this week. We will be back on Monday to talk Rampage and anything else that we have at that point. I think Impact actually might be having a pay-per-view this weekend too.
I'm not positive, but I think it's
Victory
so
Road,
right?
Yeah, I think it's Victory Road. So we'll give you just kind of whatever highlights from that.
And any other news of the weekend that may come up?
Yeah, know? I'm sure that there will be something.
Yep.
Next week we will have Raw and SmackDown. Obviously, we will be also having the next editions of the Survivor Series Countdown, yep, which we're actually going to. You'll actually be joining me on that.
Yes, I will be on that one.
So I got to remember to actually send you over the listing. Yep. Actually just pretty much cover everything. I'll text you that information in a bit. Mm-hmm. But we will also be bringing back in Chris, our friend from the UK and Once Upon a Turnbuckle, will be joining us as well for that one. For that discussion, we'll be counting down Survivor Series 95 and 96. So some interesting ones there. And then obviously we'll be back with NXT 2.0 and AEW Dynamite to close out the week again.
Yep.
All right. With that being said, we are done.
Yeah.
I'm done when it comes to everything. So that ends our show. I'm author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. And join us next week and find out what's on tap.